Let's open up our Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel 7. And here we have the account of the Philistines' defeat at Mizpah under the leadership of Samuel. The text for the word brought this morning is verse 12. We'll read the entire chapter. This is God's inspired word. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, There we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord for our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. And then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto have the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Thus far, we read from the Word of God. The text is verse 12. I'll read that once again for us. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto have the Lord helped us. Stones. stones and memorials. Beloved congregation, whether it be a tombstone of a loved one who has passed away, or a memorial of great historic events and persons, of, say, of the Vietnam War in Washington, D.C., of the Civil War in Arlington, Virginia, remembering that person or event always draws and evokes a response from us. Well, beloved, it is no different with regard to this Ebenezer Memorial Stone erected by Samuel, a stone of great meaning and significance, and one that draws a response from God's people then, and God's people through all ages, and we trust also with us this morning. On this joyful occasion of baptism this morning, we want to take the time to consider this stone and the Word of God that it still speaks to us today. What is the meaning? What is the significance for us today? And therefore, what response does it draw? Ought it draw from us today? Notice with me, Ebenezer, hitherto have the Lord helped us. Stone of thankful remembrance, stone of joyous hope, stone that draws only one response. Memorials, of course, are all about remembrance. And it is not any different with regard to the one laid by Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 7 called Ebenezer. Now, what was the occasion for this laying of this stone? The occasion for Samuel and for God's people goes back to 1 Samuel chapter 4, which we didn't read. That is to the defeat to the Philistines and the loss of the Ark of the Covenant to them. What a defeat! A dreadful defeat. For you understand, beloved, it wasn't just a military defeat. It was a very terrible and bad one. It was a rout. A rout that resulted in many terrible things. A rout that also resulted in the death of High Priest Eli eventually. And most of all, resulted in the loss of the Ark of the Covenant to the Philistines. For you see, the loss of the ark, which symbolizes the glorious presence of God with his people, demonstrated clearly to the people that the glorious presence of God was now lost. And that was significant. That was significant, especially in the age of types and shadows, the age of the Old Testament, where God was using these very pictures to teach his people important truths. So then God's people clearly understood that he was angry, with them for their sins and their sinfulness against him. And that is confirmed in many ways by the historic narrative of all that took place during all those circumstances, but perhaps most pointedly and memorably by that chilling cry that was uttered, Ichabod! The glory of God has departed. That was a cry made when Israel was under Saul's leadership and was routed. And there was a cry that was made on the occasion of the news of the Ark of the Covenant being taken away and lost unto the Philistines. That was the past, but now, in 1 Samuel 7, under the leadership of Samuel, God led Israel to win this amazing, even miraculous, an important victory over the Philistines, whence this memorial stone was erected. Ebenezer, hitherto have the Lord helped us? That was the occasion for God's people then. But because that word of God also speaks to us today, that memorial stone likewise also speaks to us today. Children, imagine in your own mind's eye an invisible memorial stone called Ebenezer. That stone bears that message to us all today. Hitherto have the Lord helped us. The occasion for us today is, of course, we the people of God gathering here together for worship. And on the joyful occasion of the infant baptism of Riley Hope. This is indeed a joyful occasion. Joyful for the family, joyful for the extended family, and joyful for the family of God here at KPRC. And I'm sure, Jordan and Chantel, you recognize the significance of the fact that our covenant God has given to you yet another covenant child in your midst. And that's because the children of believers occupy a special place in God's plan of salvation, in His covenant. The Word of God speaks to that fact in many, many places. One being Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Let me read those verses. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy, verse 5, is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Well, Jordan and Chantel, I don't know if your quiver is full, but I do know that it is filling up pretty nicely. And dear congregation, you recognize, don't you, the significance of the giving of another covenant child from our Heavenly Father in our midst, don't you? As He adds to the quiver of the family, He is also adding to the quiver of the family of God. And the importance of God doing just that cannot be overstated, especially in our circles. We all know that biblical and confessionally reformed churches do not typically attract a crowd of people from the outside into our midst. And therefore, it is vital, important, crucial even, that these churches have children and then keep their children, and not just keep their children physically, but keep their children in the faith as much as possible, teaching them, instructing them diligently, beginning with the parents doing so, and the church, all her members playing a part, officially, of course, the pastor teaching catechism. It's important that we do these things so that our youth and children grow spiritually, and as a congregation, we grow numerically with internal growth. That all is very important. Well, the occasion of infant baptism reminds us of these things, these important truths of God's covenant and kingdom, as much as it is a joyful occasion for all of us here gathered today. Good, joyful occasion. Through it all, it is a confession of that memorial stone. Ebenezer, hitherto have the Lord helped us. And in so doing, let's realize that that stone is as much a remembrance of the good as well as the not so good. That too. Certainly, That was the intent of that great, faithful and humble leader Samuel, was it not, when he uttered those words, "Hitherto have the Lord helped us." Helped. Help. Let's take a few minutes to chew on that word, helped. The Lord helped us. That word help conveys the truth that they were in need. Even urgent and desperate need of the Lord's help. For why would Jehovah help them if they didn't need His help? It's a humbling word to use. It means, therefore, that this stone, invisible to us this morning, this Ebenezer memorial stone, speaks of the good that has taken place, but also speaks of the bad. The bad which made it necessary for God to come in to intervene and to help His people. Beloved of God, let's understand here that God's people are not to sweep the bad events in their hearts and lives under the rug and forget about them and pretend that they never existed. God's people were learning that here in the text, and they were reminded by that memorial stone each time they looked upon that stone, and each time the stone spoke to them, I should say, the Spirit of God spoke to them through that stone. It speaks to them of the good as well as the bad. It was a stone of remembrance of both good and bad, and they were to be able to say, they must have been able to say each time when they saw it, "Thanks, God! Thanks be unto thee! I thank thee, Lord, both for the good as well as the bad that thou hast wrought in our hearts and lives." And that is the importance of the Word of God to us this morning. Jordan and Chantel, it is important that you be led by God to confess and to confess anew thanks to God for both the good as well as the bad in your past. And take that with you going forward as you raise this child and all your children. And dear congregation, it is important that you and I be led by God to the very same confession with regard to our own personal history, family history, and circumstances in our lives, that we also thank God for the good as well as the bad, and with that, go forward with that attitude in our hearts, living our lives with that confession living in us, in our hearts, our minds, our souls. Ebenezer is indeed a stone of thankful remembrance. And that, beloved, includes both the good as well as the bad events. Make no mistake about it. Well, now, if that be the case, you might ask the question, and it's a fair question, how were God's people then, and how are we to thank God for the bad? How are we to do that? And to be sure, we do not give thanks to God for the bad and the bad events in and of themselves, that is, in isolation. But always and only with a view to and even in light of the greater good that God accomplishes through it for us. For Samuel and for God's people then, when they saw that memorial stone, Ebenezer, they were to remember with thankfulness both the astounding victory that God granted them over the Philistines at Mizpah, as well as the sad, bad, terrible event of that defeat at Aphek and the loss of the Ark of the Covenant, all together too. They were to give thanks to God for the terrible defeat at Aphek, the loss of the covenant, in light of the great good that God had accomplished for them. What great good? Well, surely by this time that God had helped them with this stunning victory this time around, the Israelites had learned their lessons, hadn't they? Just what have they learned? Here are some lessons that they have learned. They learned that they were not to put their trust in their ungodly king Saul. And I might add too, at this point, they learned that it was a terrible sin to ask for a king just like the other nations. They learned that. They learned that the hard way. So often we learn through the hard way, don't we? They learned the hard way. What else did they learn? They learned not to put their trust in the Ark of the Covenant, but rather in the God of the Ark. That was a mere picture to them of God's presence. They learned, therefore, not to remove the Ark of the from the temple, as they were told not to. They learned the hard way that they had no business removing the Ark from the temple and bringing it to the site of battle, the battlefield. They should not have thought that in so doing, they were forcing God's hand to be present with them on the battlefield to grant them victory. They learned that they needed to repent of their terrible sins. And in particular here, the sin of idolatry, especially that trusting in the ark that they did, the way they did, was the sin of idolatry and superstition. Beloved, they learned these lessons. They learned these lessons and they were sorry for their sins. That's pretty evident from the leading up to verse 12 and the context of how God answered and heard the prayer of Samuel. They learned. That's how they were to give thanks to God for the bad as well as the good each time they beheld that Ebenezer memorial stone. They were given to see the bad, not in isolation, but in the context of and in the relationship to the good. How God would use the bad to serve the good in their hearts and lives. Ebenezer, hitherto have the Lord helped us. That's how all things work together for good. To those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And that's how also how all the other saints of God in the Bible live their lives. Let's pick a few here for mention, as for example. That's how Joseph, as he was much later on in life, as he recounted his difficult life, that was his attitude when he, recalling that he was sold unto slavery by his very own brothers, said what he did most memorably and recorded at the end of Genesis chapter 50, speaking to his brothers, verse 20, "But as for you," speaking to his brothers, "you, ye thought evil against me." It's an old sin to think evil against your brother. "Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." That's Joseph. And isn't that also how Job? Yes, Job finally, eventually looked at his trials, his very severe, sudden trials that God sent his way. And in the New Testament, isn't that also how Peter must have looked at his terrible, shameful, threefold denial of his Lord recorded in the Scriptures for all the church to behold, the church of all ages? When now he was a much older elder and man, older man and elder, and under inspiration, penned the epistle of 1 Peter. I could go on with very many other examples and saints, but I won't. And that's because the word preached must be focused upon us, not others, and not stated in mere general abstract terms, but must be applied to us, to you and I. So first of all, Jordan and Gentile, are you thankful to God for the good and the not so good in your marriage life, in your history? Each one of us here this morning has both the good and the not so good. You have yours, and I have mine. The question is this: can you confess to him and before him that you are thankful for both, as you call to mind not only your historic past, but also this memorial stone, Ebenezer, erected by Samuel? Same holds for us, dear congregation. Question applies to all of us here this morning. Are you thankful to God, not only for the good, but also the not so good in your personal lives, in your family life? Are you also thankful to God? Do you see how also the not so good serves the good? And if God hasn't shown that to you at this point in time with regard to a particular bad you are struggling with, do you love him? Do you still love him? And do you trust him, and trust that he is working all things together for good unto you? And now, most broadly, with regard to our church family, I started narrowly, personally, and family, but now with regard to this church, KPRC, and with regard to our denomination of churches, let's go as broad as that this morning and stop there. Looking back at the history of this congregation, you know the history more than I do, and looking back at the history of our denomination, even especially the most recent history and things that have happened, can we say that we are thankful to God for both the good as well as the bad? It's important that we be able to, and we actually do so. Why? Why is that important that we give thanks to God for both the good and the bad? Because, beloved, it is only in that way that this Ebenezer Memorial Stone is also a stone of joyous hope for us. As was the case with Israel under Samuel's leadership, God had not only given the bad, but through it all, he had also given his people this stunning, miraculous victory of 1 Samuel 7. And so we ask the question, why? Fair question. Why did God do that? Well, this preacher knows only one answer. Because he's God. He's God. And note in particular the name by which he reveals himself in the text. He is Jehovah God. He is the Lord in capital letters. Children, are you still listening? Lord, capital L-O-R-D, not capital L, small O-R-D. Lord, Jehovah. And that, of course, is his covenant name. It's short for I am that I am, and speaks to many truths about who he is. Who is he? He's the God who is faithful. Faithful to his people in his covenant faithfulness, even when they are not faithful to him. He is the Almighty God, who is all-powerful and sovereign. I am that I am. I answer to no one but myself. I am that I am, all-powerful, sovereign. And most of all, he's the God who is unchanging. And in particular, and most importantly for us, unchanging in his love for us, his sinful people. As he declared through Malachi, I am the Jehovah. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. How true that is for us also today, is it not, people of God? We're not consumed. We're here. And we stand before him as his washed, redeemed people through the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ. Great is his mercy to us, renewed each morning and day. Great is his faithfulness. And so, beloved, be assured that the bad, the terrible, and the forgettable things in our lives is that which he ordains. He does that. He's God. He ordains and uses to serve the good. He is going to work in our hearts and lives, and the lives of his children, whom he loves. Parents with me, are you struggling with your children? Are you struggling with children who have great weaknesses? Are you struggling with wayward children? Are you struggling with sleepless nights trying to deal with issues with regard to your children. It's a hard cross to bear. But know with me that the children of ours whom he loves, he will recover. He will restore. And he will strengthen spiritually. Not in our way, not in our time, but in his time and in his way. And all of that because he is the covenant God. He is the Lord in capital letters, the Jehovah, the God unto us and to his children. And if we ever doubt the goodness of God and the good he is prepared to do and will do for us, even through the bad, then, beloved, behold the cross of your Savior anew. See the terrible sufferings and the agonies and pains of hell he endured. See how God gave his Son for our good and for our salvation. And see what the unchanging covenant God did and will always, always be willing to do, to turn also all evil we experience unto good, for our salvation and for our good. He's the covenant God. He's the unfailing, inerrant God of covenant faithfulness, whose mercies and love abide, ever abide with us. He is the covenant God of us and our children. May we know that. And may we be assured in our heart of hearts of that. And may that knowledge in that way give to us the joyous hope that is ours through that memorial stone and what it says to us this morning. Ebenezer, hitherto have the Lord helped us. May it be so this morning for you, Chantel and Jordan. May that word coming forth from that memorial stone give you joyous hope, even as you raise this child and all your children in his fear. May this word of God also minister to us joyous hope for each one of us here present this morning, dealing with difficulties in our hearts and lives, dealing with difficulties with our children. May it give us joyous hope and firm resolve to cherish our children, even as Christ cherishes them. May it also give us joyous hope with regard to all whatever doubts, whatever struggles, whatever uncertainties you are facing in life at the present, with regard to your family, your extended family, and also, yes, now with regard to the church. May this word also give to us joyous hope as a church and denomination. A far from perfect church and denomination, there is none here on earth, but there's the ideal church and denomination, which fears the Lord and gives heed to his direction and his word through time and history. His timeless word, because he is the covenant God. He who is covenant God is also the God of his church. It is in that way that Ebenezer Memorial Stone draws but just one and only one fitting response from us. What is that response? Praise. Praise for the one living, true, faithful, covenant God of his people. Just as Samuel led God's people unto that praise, so also may we this morning be led by him unto such praise. Amen. Bless, Lord, this word. Establish it in our hearts, that it resides in our hearts and ever is in our mind, heart, and soul. Use it, Lord, to quicken us, to encourage us, to give us what we stand in need of, especially in times of darkness in our lives. Hear us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.